Welcome to the deep dive. But you've been paying attention to the world, or maybe just how you feel day to day lately. You've probably noticed it too, this kind of intense, pervasive sense of being, well, deeply out of sync.
Yeah, that really
And it's
resonates.
not just the rising anxiety and burnout we all seem to feel, it's also the social polarization, that feeling that we can't even coordinate, really, to solve simple problems anymore.
Right.
And the institutional instability that just makes everything feel like it's vibrating slightly off key.
It does. And we tend to put these things in separate boxes, don't we? Psychological problems needing medicine, political problems needing policy.
Exactly. We compartmentalize.
But our sources today suggest they might all trace back to one fundamental shared root cause, a progressive loss of rhythmic coherence across pretty much every scale of human organization.
Okay, that's a huge claim right there. To say that the chaos I might feel, my own anxiety levels, and the chaos in, say, the news cycle, they share a common cause based on time and rhythm.
Precisely. It sounds counterintuitive at first, but we're diving into a really powerful framework today called the coherence cascade.
The coherence cascade. Okay.
And this framework, it posits that the stability we're all looking for, personally and socially, it actually depends entirely on aligned rhythms. If the body's internal timekeepers go haywire,
Which feels like they often are.
right, then everything that relies on that foundation, our emotions, trust, social stability, it all starts to fracture. It loses its anchor.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Let's get to the core. Our mission for this deep dive, then, is to really quickly grasp the architecture of this coherence cascade. We want you to understand specifically how the internal tempo of your body, your gut, your breath, your heart, how that serves as the sort of non-negotiable anchor for your emotional stability, your relationships, and yeah, maybe even our shared civilizational coherence.
It's quite a journey from the inside out.
So we have to start with that foundational term, coherence. I think most people, when they hear that word, they probably think of something static, like total calm or perfect order. But that's not quite what the source material is describing, is it?
No, absolutely not static. That's key. We really need to understand it as a dynamic alignment. Think of it more like efficient, flexible coordination.
Okay.
So, coherence is the dynamic alignment of rhythms, signals, and patterns across systems. When your body is coherent, signals flow easily without friction. When a community is coherent, its members coordinate smoothly, efficiently. It's about flow.
And the cascade part describes how this alignment works. You said it's layered, where the slow rhythms kind of set the tempo for the faster ones.
That's the absolute heart of it, yes. It's a layered structure where the slower biological processes, things like, say, gut motility, which happens over seconds or minutes, or even the circadian cycle over 24 hours, these act as fundamental waveguides.
Waveguides,
Well, yeah.
channels.
Exactly like channels. They constrain and organize the faster adaptive processes. Things like our rapid-fire emotions, immediate thoughts, or spoken communication.
Right.
So if that slow foundation is stable and predictable, the fast activity riding on top of it is organized and adaptive. But if the slow foundation is chaotic, jittery,
Then the fast stuff becomes chaotic too.
it becomes noisy, reactive, inefficient. You lose that adaptive flexibility.
Okay, this sounds like a deep biological principle. It must have evolutionary roots, this kind of layering. Did our sources talk about how this developed?
They do, and they introduce this really brilliant concept called hinductance. It's a fantastic term.
Inductance. Okay.
The core idea is that evolution doesn't just replace old systems when new capabilities emerge. It doesn't just throw things out. Instead, it induces them.
Hinduces.
Yeah, it repatterns and entrains those older, slower rhythmic structures to support brand new, faster capabilities. So complexity gets built on top of and is constrained by the older, slower tempo. It's layered integration.
Okay, give me a concrete example of inductance, because that's the kind of concept that really helps it click.
Right. Let's start at the very beginning, the sort of primordial oscillator in animal life. The earliest self-generated temporal pattern is probably peristalsis, that rhythmic wave-like movement in the gut.
Right, digestion.
Exactly. This slow wave propagation sets the visceral tone, the basal tempo of the organism.
Right.
That multi-second slow gut rhythm is quite literally the first internal timekeeper, the first self-anchor we develop.
So the gut rhythm is the deep, slow drumbeat. Okay. What came next, evolutionarily speaking, building on that?
Well, think about when vertebrates moved to land and needed to breathe air. The respiratory system developed. But instead of inventing a whole new mechanism from scratch, evolution sort of repurposed the musculature that was already there, like the pharyngeal muscles involved in swallowing and axial muscles.
Which gave us the diaphragm.
Yeah. And the beauty is its rhythm.
It creates that perfect biological bridge, doesn't it? Mm. The diaphragm's rhythm allows us to regulate breathing faster than the gut moves, but generally slower than the heartbeat.
Exactly. It's the crucial bridge oscillator. It connects the very slow visceral world with the faster cardiovascular and neural world. And you see inductance again, beautifully, with the evolution of complex human speech.
How so?
Well, the ability to articulate complex language, which involves very fast, fine-grained muscular modulation, is structurally built atop the slower rhythmic control of the diaphragm and the repurposed swallowing mechanism of the larynx.
So fast, complex communication literally depends on slow, steady breath control.
Absolutely. You can't have one without the stable foundation of the other.
And what about the heart itself? It feels like the ultimate integrator.
Well, the heart isn't just some random pump that appeared. The sources frame it as a concentrated, highly refined evolutionary architecture built upon the much older, more distributed vascular rhythms present in simpler organisms.
Oh.
It functions as this incredible bioelectric node linking the entire body state, the rhythm of the gut, the pattern of the breath, directly to our feeling state. It integrates all those underlying rhythms into a coherent signal.
This really suggests that if the whole system is built rhythmically from the ground up like this, then our psychological stability, our sense of self, must also start deep inside the body, not just, you know, in the mind.
That's the key synthesis the sources make. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Your sense of self, that feeling of being you, it emerges from the continuous, hopefully stable perception of these internal bodily rhythms. We call this process interoception.
Interoception, feeling the inside.
Right. And when those slow wave rhythms are stable and predictable, the self feels grounded, resilient, safe. But when the gut is churning erratically or the breath is consistently shallow and rapid,
then the sense of self feels
anxious, fragmented, maybe even dissociated. It's hard to feel like a coherent self when the underlying physiological orchestra is playing out of tune.
Let's focus back on that foundational waveguide then, the gut. If it's the deepest anchor, how specifically does its rhythm influence our daily emotional state?
The digestive rhythms, or visceral tone, provide that low-frequency stability. Think of it as the fundamental drone or drum beat for the whole system, operating on time scales of seconds, minutes, even longer.
Okay.
Now, if that baseline is chaotic, maybe due to chronic stress, poor diet, inflammation, which are themselves rhythmic disturbances. By the way, it generates a constant low-grade sympathetic activation signal, a threat signal from depth within.
And psychologically, that translates to
irritability, maybe heightened threat sensitivity, a sort of generalized anxiety. It's just really hard to feel fundamentally safe and settled if your deepest biological anchor is constantly vibrating with alarm.
So we have the slow, deep drumbeat of the gut.
Yeah.
But thankfully, we do have one rhythm that we can actually consciously interact with, right?
Yeah.
To mediate that internal state, the breath.
Yes, and the source material is incredibly clear on this.
Sure.
Breathing is the central coupling layer. It's absolutely pivotal.
Why central?
Because it's slower than the heart, which gives it regulatory power over the cardiovascular system. But it's fast enough and involves muscles we control, making it accessible to behavioral control. It's our primary interface with the autonomic nervous system.
So by changing how we breathe,
by consciously modulating the pace, the depth, the rhythm of your breath, you are directly signaling safety or threat via the vagus nerve. That nerve is the superhighway connecting the brain to those deep visceral systems, the gut, the heart. Breathing is like your personal rhythmic remote control for your internal state.
And we actually have a pretty common clinical or wellness score for how well we're, let's say, managing that remote control, heart rate variability or HRV. I think a lot of people track this now, maybe on their watches.
Right, it's become very popular.
But they might not fully grasp what high versus low HRV really signifies in this context of coherence.
That's a great point. HRV is essentially our global coherence indicator. It measures the flexible beat-to-beat variations in the time intervals between heartbeats.
So variability is good here.
Exactly. High HRV means your heart and respiratory rhythms are effectively coupled, working together harmoniously. It indicates a highly adaptive autonomic nervous system, one that can flexibly adjust to environmental demands, shifting smoothly between activation and rest. It signifies resilience.
And low HRV.
Low HRV means your system is more rigid. Yeah. It's often stuck in chronic sympathetic activation, like the gas pedal is constantly pressed down. This makes you more vulnerable to stress, disease, and even mental rigidity. Your physiological resilience is directly measurable in that rhythmic variation.
It's fascinating. And this internal stability, this interoceptive signaling, it even informs what might be the slowest timing system of all, the immune system.
That's right. It's a newer perspective, but the sources frame the immune system as operating in part as a slow predictive timing system.
How does that work?
It basically uses those ongoing interoceptive signals, the state of your gut health, your heart rhythm patterns, your stress levels, to adjust the body's baseline inflammatory set points. So if the body is consistently perceiving internal chaos or threat signals from those rhythms, the immune system might decide the broader environment is unsafe or unpredictable. It then raises the baseline level of inflammation as a sort of protective preparatory measure.
And that chronic low-grade inflammation has huge knock-on effects.
Huge. It profoundly shapes mood, increases risk for depression, affects social cognition, and can even influence how much trust you instinctively afford to other people. Internal rhythm impacts immunity, which impacts social feeling.
Okay, so we've firmly established that individual regulation, our sense of self, is deeply dependent on this internal rhythmic stability. Now we need to scale outwards. Because a core idea here is that the nervous system never really regulates in isolation, does it? Regulation is inherently social.
Absolutely. The sources are very strong on this. Regulation is social right from the start. When we're born, the infant's nervous system is quite chaotic. The caregiver, through rhythmic inputs, rocking, soothing vocal tones, holding, touch literally acts as an external homeostatic system.
They lend their rhythm to the baby.
Precisely. They use their regulated rhythm to help stabilize the infant's initially chaotic rhythms. Heart rate slows, arousal calms down. Attachment security is built on this rhythmic attunement.
And that dynamic doesn't just vanish when we grow up. We just shift to perhaps more subtle, often unconscious, ways of synchronizing.
That co-regulation continues throughout life, primarily through the subconscious alignment of our nervous systems with those around us. Think about vocal prosody, the tempo, the pitch, the rhythm of speech.
Yeah.
That rhythm is an incredibly powerful entrainment mechanism. The subtle cadence of your voice can literally shift the physiological state, the heart rate, the breathing of the person listening to you.
Wow. So connection is literally felt.
It is. And the sources go so far as to define love biologically, not just as a cognitive affiliation or emotional bond, but as a stable pattern of rhythmic resonance. It's a synchronized oscillation across partners' physiological systems breathing together, hearts potentially coupling rhythmically.
That is a profound shift in perspective. If love is rhythmic resonance, then disconnection, loneliness.
Yeah.
That's rhythmic mismatch or lack of synchrony.
That's the implication, yes. A failure to entrain.
So what happens when we scale this concept up from a pair to larger groups? Does this, the same physics apply?
It seems to be the same fundamental principle. Collective activity. Think about ancient hunters tracking prey together, people rowing a boat in unison, or even a large crowd chanting or singing at a concert or ritual. These shared activities entrain the nervous systems of the participants.
Everyone falls into the same rhythm.
Right. And that shared stable rhythm does several things. It builds social cohesion. It actually reduces the individual metabolic cost of the activity because of the synchrony. And it creates a powerful embodied sense of shared identity. A shared rhythm is almost the physical manifestation of collective belonging.
Which leads us directly to the idea of ritual. Ritual is so often dismissed today, maybe as superstition or just, you know, cultural decoration. But you're saying it's actually a core technology for coherence.
It absolutely is, or at least it evolved to be. Ritual is framed here as the primary technology for intentionally aligning the slow wave physiological rhythms of a group.
Wow.
Rituals are, by definition, structured, predictable, often repetitive methods for resetting and maintaining group coherence. Think about the components. chanting, drumming, dancing, communal feasting, synchronized movements. These activities physically align participants' breath, their posture, their heart rates, their attention.
So it stabilizes emotions and builds trust on a large scale.
Exactly. It creates a shared physiological state that makes large-scale trust and cooperation possible, which leads to this really potent takeaway nugget the sources offer. A community without rhythm cannot maintain trust.
Wow. Community without rhythm cannot maintain trust. That feels incredibly relevant today. Which brings us, unfortunately, to the core problem we seem to be facing now. We can almost chart the history of human civilization through the tempo we kept, can't we?
We absolutely can. We started for millennia in agricultural time. This was slow, cyclical, deeply defined by the natural rhythms of the sun, the moon, the seasons. Our biology was perfectly aligned with this.
Then came industrialization.
Right, industrial time. This was linear, segmented, governed by the mechanical clock. Time became a resource, a commodity to be measured and optimized. The workday had fixed parameters, but we started to decouple from natural cycles.
But the really radical break, the one causing the most disruption now, seems to be digital time.
Oh, absolutely. This is the nonlinear, fragmented, hyper-accelerating era of 247 availability, instant notifications, constant stimulation. It creates a state of perpetual cognitive and physiological activation. There's no predictable rhythm anymore.
And the consequence is?
The collective tempo has just accelerated far beyond the body's innate capacity for slow wave regulation and recovery. These digital platforms demand fast, constant reactive processing, and those fast processes are now profoundly decoupled from their necessary slow physiological anchors, the gut settling, the slow breath, the restorative sleep cycles.
So we end up with
chronic emotional reactivity because our fast emotional signals no longer have that slow rhythmic anchor to dampen them or provide context. We get persistent mental tension, burnout, and this pervasive feeling of disconnection between the hyperactive cognitive mind and the needs of the anchored body.
And the instability we see in public life, in politics, it's often framed as ideological conflict. But the sources reframe governance itself as potentially a failure of phase coordination. What does that mean in practical terms?
It means thinking of governance not just as control or policymaking, but fundamentally as the state's role in managing the optimal timing, pacing, and synchronization for collective life.
Okay.
So a failure of phase coordination happens when the governing structures, our institutions, laws, cultural norms, fail to maintain temporal coherence for the population. For example, if governance doesn't protect nighttime rest from light pollution or work demands, or if it forces people into economic situations requiring work speeds that are metabolically unsustainable,
the system breaks down.
The system deteriorates. Polarization, from this view, isn't just about disagreeing on ideas. It's partly about different segments of the population moving at fundamentally irreconcilable tempos, unable to synchronize their intentions, efforts, or even basic communication because their underlying physiological states are so different and unstable.
And we feel this temporal mismatch directly in our collective and individual health.
Absolutely. The public health crises we're seeing skyrocketing, anxiety, depression, chronic inflammatory diseases, widespread burnout, these aren't solely psychological or medical issues in isolation. The sources argue they are, in large part, symptoms of coherence breakdown across all these rhythmic layers.
It manifests physically.
You see it in the data. Chronically low population HRV averages, persistent sympathetic fight or flight activation, profoundly disrupted circadian rhythms due to light exposure and erratic schedules. We are, in a sense, collectively sick because we have lost the ability to keep good time with ourselves, with each other, and with the planet's natural cycles.
So if the problem is fundamentally temporal, a loss of rhythm, then the solution must also be temporal. It must involve restoring rhythm. And the path to restoration, according to the sources, is very structured. You can't just jump steps.
That's the core restorative principle, and it's essential. Coherence repair must proceed intentionally from the slowest layers to the fastest. You have to stabilize the deep anchors first before you can effectively regulate the faster, more reactive systems built on top. Trying to fix anxiety just with thoughts, without addressing the breath or gut, is like trying to steady a ship in a storm by adjusting the sail trim without checking the hull.
Okay, so let's walk through the levels. Level one, individual stabilization. What are the most practical, foundational, slow wave practices listeners can engage with?
The absolute primary tool, because it's the most accessible interface, is the breath. specifically practicing slow, nasal, diaphragmatic breathing, aiming for a rate of around 5 to 6 breaths per minute, with a conscious emphasis on extending the exhalation phase.
Why the extended exhale?
Because the exhale is primarily linked to the parasympathetic rest and digest nervous system via the vagus nerve. Slowing the breath, especially the exhale, sends a powerful, undeniable biological signal of safety deep into the system, immediately helping to increase vagal tone and improve HRV.
What else at the individual level?
Second, establish firm daily anchors for your biology. This means consistent sleep-wake cycles, as much as possible aligned with natural light and dark, and regular, predictable meal timing. Give your body a reliable external clock to sync its internal ones. Movement is key, too, particularly practices that release postural tension and fascial restrictions, allowing rhythms to flow more freely.
Okay, so stabilize the self first with breath, sleep, food timing, movement. Then once we have some internal stability, how do we start rebuilding coherence on the relational level? Level two, the dyadic level.
Right, because we don't regulate alone. This is where we consciously reintroduce synchronization with another person. With a trusted partner, friend, or family member, you can actually practice co-breathing.
Literally trying to breathe together.
Yeah. Yes, sitting quietly, maybe side by side or facing each other, and gently aligning your diaphragmatic rhythm. Feeling the shared stillness. Also, consciously using slow, soft, prosodic voice regulation when communicating, especially about difficult topics. The goal is to use your stable rhythm to help co-regulate theirs, rebuilding that sense of relational safety through shared synchronized oscillation. It's about lending stability.
And scaling up again to level three, the community rebuild. We talked about ritual. How do we restore that in a functional, maybe modern sense?
Exactly. The sources suggest reinstituting practices that create shared time and shared rhythm. Think simple, slow, communal meals where people connect without rushing. Group singing, chanting, or even just moving together rhythmically like group walks or dances can be incredibly powerful for getting people breathing and moving in sync.
Re-anchoring cultural time.
Yes, and intentionally observing seasonal markers together. These practices help re-anchor the community's felt sense of time to the larger, slower ecological rhythms, pushing back against the frantic, disembodied pace of the 247 digital clock. It restores a sense of shared place and pace.
Finally, levels 4 and 5 tackle the large-scale structures we inhabit. We need institutional redesign. That feels like a big leap.
It is, but it's necessary if the lower levels are to be sustained. Institutions, workplaces, schools must begin to align their structures and schedules with human biological tempos.
What would that look like?
It means recognizing and respecting our natural ultradian cycles, those roughly 90 to 120 minute bursts of focused energy, followed by a biological need for rest and recovery. Building in real breaks, protected offline blocks, designing workflows that honor human energy patterns, not just expecting continuous linear output like a machine.
And at the broadest planetary level, level 5, this alignment requires acknowledging that our civilization's rhythm can't ultimately exist separate from the Earth's rhythm.
It really demands that we start protecting natural planetary tempos as a matter of public health and civilizational stability. Primarily, this means protecting nighttime darkness from light pollution, which is absolutely critical for circadian health across ecosystems, including ours, and perhaps encouraging more seasonal variation in our collective activity, rather than maintaining this constant, hyper-accelerated pace year-round, regardless of the season, reattuning to the Earth's time.
This has been a truly profound deep dive. We started with that pervasive sense of chaos, didn't we? Both internal and collective. And we've traced it back through this coherence cascade framework to a fundamental breakdown in our temporal architecture, our rhythmic alignment.
Mm-hmm.
It seems life builds meaning and stability by keeping time effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And that stability is the product of aligned rhythms across every single scale, from your gut bacteria all the way up to the planet itself.
And the ultimate implication, perhaps the most provocative thought derived from this framework, is this. The defining task of our time might therefore not be to accelerate innovation even further, but actually to consciously, intentionally restore the tempo of being, to slow down where needed.
Restore the tempo of being.
So the challenge for you listening now is to consider, what is one personal rhythm, or maybe one family or community rhythm? Perhaps it's rushing through dinner every night, or the habit of answering work emails late into the evening. What's one rhythm you could intentionally slow down just this week? And just notice, feel the difference that even a small act of temporal realignment makes for your own coherence.
That's a powerful call to action, a challenging but maybe necessary one. Thank you for participating in this deep dive with us.